Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Thursday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are practicing social distancing on this show. We're doing a first. I'm here in my home studio here in Rutherford County. Willie is over on the east side representing East Nashville. Chase is over on the west side representing things, holding down the fort in his studios. Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Link studios, powered by Rumble On there on Murfreesboro Pike, next to the airport. So we're scattered all over the place. Hour number two underway, and Dennis Kelly is going to help with the scattering. We bring him on via the telephone. I don't know exactly where Dennis is, but he has inked a new deal with the Titans, and the Undertaker now joins us. Dennis, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
This is a little bit different times we're in right now. What I guess you're getting to know the family. What are you doing right now?
Yeah, this is definitely a very, very weird time right now. I have a one-month-old baby.
Wow.
So we have already kind of been doing that, you know, the social distancing on our own. So we're in week four at this point. So the four-year-old and the two-year-old are getting pretty testy, and they're testing their boundaries right now. So my wife and I are definitely working our way through and trying to find ways to keep them entertained, but obviously, you know, keep them away from as many people as we can currently.
Yeah, you guys got your hands full right now, so this is, you get to be full-on dad right now.
Yeah, we picked a hell of a time to add to the family, that's for sure.
Was this an easy decision for you? Was this an easy process? This is part of the business, but take us through it and how you arrived to coming back to Tennessee and being with the Titans.
Yeah, you know, my wife and I, our family, we really, really, I love Nashville. You know, it's one of those things where when the trade happened, you know, it kind of gave us a breath of fresh air in terms of playing football and being involved in the NFL. And the city has just been very welcoming and very receptive of us. And so in that regard, it made it an easy choice. On the professional level, there's always that. You get in, you test the market, you see what some other people are saying, and you know, you try and do what's best for you and your family. And, you know, the whole time, this, pretty much my entire career, I've been asking for a chance to start. And, you know, I knew here in Tennessee, I know the coaches and other players, it's like that all fit really well. It's just, you know, getting that opportunity to show that I can be a starter in this league.
Let's go back, because I don't think we've ever talked about this with you. Let's go back to the day that you were traded from Philadelphia to here. Mm-hmm. At the time, just go back to that mindset and going back to your family. What did you think at the time when that trade initially happened? Were you excited? Were you perplexed? Were you like, oh, my gosh, what does this mean? Because obviously you've just told us how you feel today now that
right.
You've been here for a while. But what was it like then, Dennis?
You know, it was a whirlwind is a good way to explain it, especially because that was Doug Peterson's first year, and he was in Philly my rookie year with Andy Reid. And so I felt really comfortable again, knowing the offense, and I was in good standing with the coaches. So I felt really confident that, like, I knew what was going on. There were rumblings that Lane Johnson was going to have his second suspension. So I was already like, okay, I might be playing a bunch this year. And then as we're getting ready for our last practice at camp, they come and grab me and say, you know, Howie wants to talk to you. And it's like, oh boy. Like,
yeah.
I knew I wasn't getting cut because I just played really well in that preseason game, but I was like, well, this is probably a goodbye, guys. And, yeah, there's just a lot of, not confusion, but just kind of nervous excitement. You know, didn't really know what I was getting myself into. I had to, you know, look at who the coaches were, you know, found out obviously it was, you know, Malarkey and that Russ Grimm was the O-line coach, and I talked to him when I was going through the draft processing because he was out in Arizona. But other than that, I didn't really know that much about the roster or anything. So there was a time of leaving my wife and my oldest, who was a little over a year at the time, and just like, I got to go, like, figure the house out, I guess. And so, yeah, you know, but when I got here, it was the team and the organization did a really good job of making it a smooth transition of trying to, you know, Mike Sullivan, him and I really were able to form a good relationship with him trying to catch me up and us being able to relate. But, yeah, it's a whirlwind for sure.
What was last season? Let me phrase it this way. When did you know, did you guys know, because I think everybody wants to know if you can come into a season with expectations, but sometimes things just unfold. I mean, nobody saw it coming with the Predators' run to the Stanley Cup Final back, you know, 4 years ago. Nobody saw that coming. It just happened. But things have to happen in a room, as you know, Dennis. There's got to be chemistry. And you're in it every day, so you see things outsiders don't. When did you know that last year had a chance to go, you know, the direction everybody wanted it to go? When did you know that something special was happening?
You know, I will say, because I was talking to a couple of players actually about it yesterday, when we were back in OTAs, our offense was humming. And compared to 2018, with all the new coaches and everything, it definitely felt like the defense had the upper hand during those spring, you know, practices, so to speak, where that wasn't the case this past offseason. So there was definitely one of those, there was a vibe of like, okay, we have something here. We got to keep it going. And obviously, beginning of the year happened, and I think that might have added to some of the, I don't say frustration, but just kind of the, like, we know we can do it. Why aren't we doing it? And I think there was being able to step back and kind of understand, and everyone just like almost taking a breath and be like, we've shown we can do this before. We've had spurts even in the games where we were in that first half of the season where it wasn't going our way. To show that we can do it, let's just, you know, build the chemistry back, get that rhythm back, and you know, get it rolling.
We're talking to Dennis Kelly, offensive tackle and great utility man, and now the projected starter for the Tennessee Titans, signing and re-upping with his team. And Dennis, I want to ask you something, because I think we're all looking for direction, and I know the league has put directives out there, but in terms of athletes that are trying to stay in shape for the time we have going forward, I know the picture is not clear, but you know, you're a professional athlete. You want to stay in shape. You were just talking about the importance of the off season, and we know the off season is going to be very different for everybody, especially in the NFL. So, what are you personally doing to stay in shape? What's the program like for you? What have you been told?
So there's only so much that they can actually tell us legally with the CBA and everything, but timing wise, it kind of worked out for me because I installed my own personal gym down in my basement because with having the new baby, it just with convenience wise, it would be easier having the stuff at the house instead of going over to the gym that I usually work out at. So I have everything I need in that regard, and it's essentially it's kind of the same same story for me, just doing what I've been doing, you know, in past years. And that, you know, I'm preparing. You know, obviously we don't play any games until September, but, you know, the off-season program may start, it may not start, we don't know. So you kind of just have to make sure that you're ready for the off chance that they're like, all right, in 2 weeks you guys are coming in.
And that is something that I know you've always excelled in, the mental preparation, at times being able to slide into any number of roles, including a pass catcher. But what is that like? How did you learn how to get good at that? Because that is such an important thing for all athletes and really all people, right? The mental preparation for being able to excel when your name is called.
Yeah, I think obviously a little bit out of necessity to continue being able to play in the league. If you're not a starter, you got to find a way to make sure that you're versatile and able to help the team in multiple ways, and not just, you know, one trick pony, so to speak. And mentally, I talked to Taylor about it, Luan, all the time. I was like, I hate that feeling of unknown. I like the being prepared aspect of it is kind of what drives me. And so with that, you know, I'd rather be over-prepared and not be needed instead of being needed and being like, well, wish I had watched some more film this week. So that's kind of the way I always approached it. And it worked out in my favor.
We're talking to Dennis Kelly, Titans offensive lineman. And Dennis, at the end of the season, I asked Taylor this question of, you know, you guys made an incredible run to the AFC championship game and came up a little bit short, but we all know that it's a business. There are going to be changes in a locker room. There are guys that are leaving your room. We know Jarrell Casey was traded yesterday to Denver. Mm-hmm. What is that like of finding the balance of you want to keep the group together, you want to try and finish what you started, but you also know that you have to make those changes to keep up with the rest of the league?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating process of the business that we play, just because, you know, there's money involved, there's, you know, my personal product is my talent, and at some point there's going to be a regression. Like, that's just science and that's nature. And so there's always the argument of, do we want to get out, you know, kind of the buy low, sell high type process when it comes to a player, where you don't want to hold on to a player for too long. But at the same time, you know, there's, like I mentioned, the salary cap is always moving. You know, there's rumors with the new CBA deal that is supposed to blow up next year. So there's so many different moving parts to try and, like you said, maintain a team that got, you know, was arguably a half away from making it to the Super Bowl. And so, you know, the front office has, you know, a really hard job to try and find that perfect, delicate balance of good experience, good talent, good youth, you know, good leadership, all of it to kind of to meld together.
The offensive line is a very tight-knit group, but you're also very tight with the quarterback, the guy that you're paid to protect. Ryan gets the long-term deal. What was it about him that he was able to command that locker room, command that huddle, and take over, and ultimately now he's the quarterback for the foreseeable future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's I talked about it yesterday, and the whole situation with him coming in and replacing Marcus was a very – unique situation because of the position they kind of put both of those two men at. And, you know, Marcus is so well-liked in the locker room, in the organization, in the city, is such a great person. And there's that aspect where Ryan is just as great in all of those things I just mentioned. There's that dynamic of, how is this going to go over? You know, you're replacing him. You know, there's this. And there wasn't any tension. There wasn't any drama. There wasn't any issues with it from either side of it. And when Ryan came in, he just took it over and made sure that things looked the way that he wanted them to look. And so there was that aspect of it's almost like he just stepped in. And it's like, all right, this is what we're doing. This is how we're rolling, and this is where we're going. And I think that calming presence, that calming leadership, I think really brought the guys together.
Now, I'm a big wrestling fan. I've seen you out at AEW and a couple of different events. How did the whole Undertaker, I mean, you do have a striking resemblance to the Dead Man, but how did the whole Undertaker thing start?
You know, it's funny. I think a combination of the size and, you know, I've always wanted long hair, partially because of my fandom of wrestling. And the coincidence that I kind of have that, a similar appearance to him is just, you know, obviously coincidence, but, you know, sometimes you just kind of have to lean into it, right?
Absolutely. Have you met him?
No, I haven't. That is one, you know, bucket list thing that I would like to do.
That's awesome. Dennis, last thing real quick. So were you guys passed the new CBA? You brought that up just a minute ago. Were you pleased the direction moving forward, or were you a little disappointed?
You know, I think with any negotiation, you're going to get some things that you like, some things that you don't like. You know, I think there's a lot of good that can come from the CBA. And, you know, at the end of the day, essentially it all comes down to money. And with, you know, this extra game, the extra playoff game, there's projections that there's going to be a lot of the money. So, and that can help guys, not just in their salary, but with the benefits and taking care of themselves after football. Cause I think that's growing to be more and more, there's more awareness about it. You know, obviously, you know, when I was growing up, no one really thought that when a professional football player finished playing that he wasn't going to be fine for the rest of his life. That was just like, okay, that he's good. Or, you know, reports came out and news came out, they had the 30 for 30 bro. You know, things started coming out saying that, you know, it's not always the way people make it out to be. And so I think that this new CBA and what we were able to get, they should be able to, again, to help ease the transition. I think that's the biggest thing, is trying to help guys find their way and what they want to do after football.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, really appreciate the visit. Good luck with the little ones at home, and we look forward to talking to you down the road when you guys get cranked up again.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, that is Thanks, Dennis Kelly, who just inked a new deal and is expected to be the replacement for Jack Conklin over at right tackle. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the Hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.